listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'm Liza, and I'm here with my co-host Kristen and Jennifer Fisher from the ADRC. And Jennifer, in this last segment, we like to shift gears a little bit and ask some powerful questions, as we like to call them. The questions that kind of push you to go inward and reflect on some of your personal experiences and thoughts. So my first one for you is, what about this work is appealing to you?
I love that we are helpful. So that's what's so appealing to me, is that I really feel that the work that the Aging and Disability Resource Center does makes a difference in people's lives every single day. Because we are providing resources and information that people did not know. And hopefully the information that we're providing is improving people's lives, and they're learning about programs that they didn't know about. They're hearing about resources and things available in the community that we're helping to relieve people's stress and really move them forward. And the employees at the Resource Center are so incredible. They are so passionate about the work that we do and are really dedicated to the people who call us and getting the information. And if we don't have it, doing research to get that information, that it's awe-inspiring for me to see them do their work every day, and just how much they're here for people. And the other piece is that I hear from people who email me or call me as the manager, just saying, you know, I called you and I wasn't really sure how this would go, and you really made a difference. And that's so fulfilling. It really fills my soul that, you know, I work with an agency and we do such good work and are here to help people.
Well, it's true. And I mean, again, I've said from a personal experience, I've reached out to you guys a couple times, and even talking to Jennifer to get prepared for this interview, I was like, and by the way, can I ask you a Social Security question? Can I ask you something about my daughter? And she did. I mean, she just spot on answered it and then said, well, you could do this and you could look at that. And I just thought, wow, that is just amazing that you're so approachable and informative, right? And I think that's true about the agency as a whole, and then the individuals that are there to provide the information for the clients, the people that are aging, the people that have the disabilities, but then also those of us that are caregivers. And I just want to also give another shout out to the fact that I have a friend in Maryland whose daughter is pretty significantly ill. And I said, you know, you guys should probably take a look at applying for disability. And she wasn't getting a lot of support through the school. So I found their ADRC in her county and I sent her the link, because I was like, these are the people who do the magic to help you figure out how to just take the first step forward, and then the next step, and then the next step. And she emailed me a couple of weeks later and said, you are so right. They were so helpful. And now I don't feel as overwhelmed. So it's good. It's good agency. It's good stuff you're doing.
Yeah, that is great. I can attest firsthand as well. And you're so accessible. And it is so nice to have somebody to just talk to. It's one thing to get dumped a pile of resources on your lap or to go down thousands of rabbit holes on the computer, but to have somebody to really be there and explain things can make such a difference, especially in these times when you feel really overwhelmed. And Kristen, I just want to point out one thing that you said about your friend in Maryland, which we didn't really address. Jennifer, are the ADRCs in every county?
Yeah, so in Wisconsin, there are Aging and Disability Resource Centers in every county. Some are county specific, some are regional that serve multi-counties. But no matter where you are, there's an office in your county and they are here to help you.
Wonderful.
Is that true across the country? I mean, I guess I just assumed it.
And across the country, there are resource centers. They're not as widespread as in Wisconsin. So sometimes there's one for the state, or they're regional. They're a little bit different in every state.
Wow. I'm glad we're county, because it does make it just smaller and more accessible.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID, I walked into the office and mm-hmm. I sat there for an hour and talked to different people and I read the pamphlets, and it was cozy too. It was a real welcoming environment. It didn't feel, no offense to the people that work at Social Security, but walking into that office or walking into DMV, I mean, you know, you're in a government bureaucratic office. Walking into yours, I was like, oh, I could sit here and sip my coffee and, you know, do a little gentle reading, and maybe I'll take a nap even.
Do you have that happen, Jennifer? Do you find caregivers sleeping in your lobby?
We don't have people take a nap, but we do.
Okay. You draw the line, right? Okay.
We want to be approachable.
Yep, always pushing the edge. So the teacher in me, though, is always curious, what are people learning from their jobs? So what do you feel like you've learned from all of this work, Jennifer?
I have learned a lot. I've learned a lot about our community. I have learned a lot about the changing times and the changing resources. You know, Dane County is a resource-rich county, but we also have needs that are still unmet needs for people. You know, the struggle to find affordable housing, sure. And how things change. Like right now with the huge workforce crisis, and yes. Really hard to find workers, if you're looking for respite, learning about the community and the needs that change, and being able to be a voice. The ADRC has a board. We have members from the county board on our board, where, you know, we can talk about what we're seeing, what are the unmet needs, and bring that information to the people in Dane County who make the decisions, just hearing what's going on in the community, and also hearing all the wonderful work that's going on in Dane County and all the great programs and initiatives is really fulfilling, because things are always changing.
Sure. Well, and I did not realize that you guys did have kind of an advocacy connection, right? That on your board, there was a way for an avenue for people who have some control and power in the decisions about resources, funding, allocation, all of that kind of stuff, that they're actually hearing from those of you who are hearing from people on the ground, right? We need that pipeline. So thank you. That's awesome to hear that.
Yes, it's really great.
And that kind of transitions into my last question. And I know you touched on it a little bit, but what are you most proud of from your work?
I am most proud that we make a difference. You know, that we are here to provide information, and that we are really personalized to your situation, that when you call us, you don't get a voicemail or a push 1, 2, 3, you get a real person. And that's the person that you get to talk to through your interaction, that we believe in our mission. We believe to be here and to provide you resources. And we have put things in place to make sure that that happens, that we are responsive to the community, that we have workers who are really well-trained and passionate about what they do, that we're not just here answering a phone and giving you an answer that isn't what you're looking for.
Yeah. You should be proud of that. It is something that's admirable. I'm curious about, I guess maybe this is a little bit self-fulfilling for me, is we're trying to develop this community, right? So Liza and I, through this radio show and through, you know, our website, we're developing some programming retreats and some workshops that are really focused on the caregiver crisis and helping with that, taking care of yourself if you're the caregiver, how to prevent or manage caregiver burnout, a little bit of kind of like advocacy 101. But as somebody who is listening, I've said this on a couple other podcasts. I know for myself, and I think Liza would agree, sometimes we can get lost in the forest for the trees, right? So we are really, you know, just trying to put out fire after fire. And so I'm not quite sure what is happening among my peers. And so from your perspective, what do you feel like is a gap, or what do you feel like is something that Liza and I can do with the Empowered Caregiver Communities workshops and retreats to sort of address?
I think that people, especially during COVID, you know, people became more removed because, you know, people weren't interacting as much. So I think really, once again, hearing that there are opportunities to get together to share your caregiver journey and to have that support, and not just online, but, you know, eventually when it's safe, in person, where right. you can go, because it's really powerful as a caregiver to connect with other caregivers and mm-hmm. to share and to learn. Because there's no one manual, and right. Everything changes. In your caregiver journey, you may think I'm going really well, and then something happens and that journey changes and you didn't expect it. And you know, as a parent and as a caregiver, you know, there's not a manual that says this is how you do it all.
Right.
And so, you know, oftentimes it's so important to connect with other caregivers, to just hear and share and to know that you're not alone. So I think just the opportunity of people being able to do that again and do that in a personal space is going to be so valuable, because, you know, COVID has really limited the access. And, you know, at the ADRC, we've done a couple things. We had done some caregiver series that we did via Zoom GoToMeeting, but then really thought about, what about caregivers who don't have access to the internet?
Right.
Then we had partnered with some, you know, other agencies and done a total call-in on the phone. So people didn't need that computer to have access. So, you know, and it's trying new things and not being afraid to try new things, to see, you know, how does the online go and how does the non-online option go? Because, you know, if you are a phone person and you call into an online meeting, you're still missing things, you know, that you're missing that visual piece. And so it's not the same message that you get that everyone else gets. So, you know, really tailoring something that's strictly over the phone so that the person talking and presenting is aware that you're just hearing, you're not also seeing a visual.
I like that. That's a really good point. So let me just recap. What I'm hearing is we need to make sure that we're providing lots of different venues, lots of different means of sharing and connecting. So when we are safely able to be in person and, you know, getting into this warmer, nicer weather, that's going to always make it easier to be outside and have, you know, the distance and the space. But then also, you know, still keeping some of the online stuff, because we have found that for some people that were homebound, this is super helpful.
Yes.
Right? To be able mm-hmm. to connect in a virtual community. But then this phone piece, I love that part. I've not heard that, you know, third option where I don't necessarily feel comfortable going there. I don't like the technology or I don't have it, but I do have a phone, and making sure that the person on the other end is hearing that. Wow. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that. Jennifer, you have been a delight to talk with. It's just been really interesting to hear your individual story. Your mom is lucky to have you.
Definitely.
I'm scared she's driving, but I'm glad you're keeping an eye on her. And I love and appreciate all the work you're doing at the ADRC.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Have a great day.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye.